Turn with me to Job chapter 2. Title of my exhortation this morning is Friendship. This is a talk I gave, I don't even know how many years ago, after a Bible school up in Kentucky, maybe 10, 15 years ago, revised a little bit. Didn't have time to finish up my talk on Deuteronomy 6, so I promise I'll get to that one next time. Friendships. Are not true friendships a gift from God? Christadelphian friendships last a lifetime, and possibly, as we hope, forever. So we, as friends, need to hold one another accountable, for it would be a shame if we could have helped someone, a friend, gain an entrance into the kingdom of God, but we did not want to hurt somebody's feelings. And there we might be without them. This could be any of us, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, the closest friend that one can have besides our relationship with the Father and His Son, our spouse, who we tend to take advantage of more than anyone else. Friendships are like a marriage. The same qualities, the same values, and morals go into this relationship. Trust and unity. In fact, the definition from Strong's also implied husband and lover. Friend in Strong's Concordance 7453, Reya, meaning and close associate, a brother, a companion, and neighbor, and the implied husband and lover. So my question is to all of us this morning, who are your friends? We are all familiar with the trials that Job went through in his life, and we see how a righteous man is really unstoppable until God is finished with him. Let's read Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and the adversary came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto the adversary, "From whence camest thou?" And the adversary answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto the adversary, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And the adversary answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, or the adversary, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went this adversary forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Now when Job's three friends heard of all of this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, and they knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one of his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Verse 8 of Job 1, he is recorded as a perfect or a blameless or an upright man. one that feareth God and shuns evil. This is also repeated in Job chapter 1, verse 1, and again in chapter 2, verse 3, three times. This is repeated about this brother in Christ. These need to be the characteristics that we should have and need to have in our own personal lives if we are to be a friend of God's. Turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, starting at verse 4. I'll be reading through verse 12. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the adversary, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren, and he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So to be a friend of God's, we have to draw nigh unto him. He is not going to draw nigh unto us first. Young students of the Bible, again, God is not just going to give you this good pleasure. He expects honesty. He expects humility. He expects integrity. And the people that you associate with, you are so considered. I don't think that there is nothing wrong with having friends outside of the truth, although I have none, because once they know what I believe, that pretty much does it for us. But what about these friends of Job, who he is speaking about, or who he is speaking to in Job 19:25, when he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Well, we know it's Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar we just read. What caring friends that we read about in chapter 2 of Job. They heard of his troubles that he was having, and somehow back in them days they were able to have some communication because they were very from different areas, and they had these conversations somehow, and they agreed to meet and arrive together with Job to mourn with him and to comfort him in any way that they could, for they saw that his grief was great. Now, would not we expect the same thing from some of our close friends? We know that Job, before this, had four tragic events take place in his life. And again, all of this in one day. But for the lack of time, we are not going to look at those, but we should all be familiar with them as much as to be considered by those events. Job's friends were the kind of friends that anyone would want to have as part of their lives. They are willing to give up of their time to sit with Job for a week. And that doesn't even include that travel time that we talked. They had compassion on him to want to help him. They cried with him. They tore their robes and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. So I ask, so what do we do for our friends? This would include our neighbors. What does Jesus say about our neighbors? What about our neighbors who we might not even know? Has anyone ever stopped to help someone that maybe was broken down on the side of the road, or do we keep going? Nowadays, that's a little bit more difficult to do, probably when I wrote these words a long time ago. I know sometimes I'm driving and I see somebody pushing a bike, and it's like I could just throw that in the back of my truck and get him to where he goes, but I have doubts, and I don't do it. And then sometimes I feel bad, and I got to have to ask for forgiveness because I felt like I could have helped them, and I didn't. Luke 10, chapter 25, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. Luke 10, 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willingly to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up all of his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave him to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. So which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Being a friend does not require that we are going to get something back in return for our deed. We have done this out of love or for joy because Jesus says, this do. The Hebrew word for redeemer, G-A-A-L, purchaser, purchase, ransom, one who will champion his cause and vindicate him. Is this not the quality that we might look for in one that who we choose to be our companion, one that would even lay down their life for us? So let us reflect a moment on that fact that a man that was born of a woman who, like us, suffered pain voluntarily, gave himself upon the cross to be our companion. So who in this room could or would even die for someone that they love? And who, especially in this room, would die for someone that they didn't love? This is the defining difference in our love for one another and Jesus' love for us. John 15, verses 13 through 17. John chapter 15, 13 through 17. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And then Ephesians 5, 2. Ephesians 5, 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So back in Job, righteous Job is basically abandoned by his friends and his relatives. In verse 14 of chapter 17 of Job says, My kinsfolk have failed and my close friends have forgotten me. Verse 17, my breath is repulsive to my wife. Verse 19, all my close friends abhorred me. and they whom I loved are turned against me. So what happened from the time that we read in chapter 2, 11 through 13, till now in chapter 15? That was from 15 of Job. Because now they have become, or we could consider them, the most unsympathetic comforters in the scriptures. Eliphaz, who I believe is the most compassionate of them, takes the position of a theologian, emphasizing of the greatness of God and his judgment on sin. And then we have Bildad, who has now taken the position of a traditionalist, emphasizing the principles of justice and the concept of retribution. And then there's Zophar, who has taken the position of a moralist, emphasizing the principles of wisdom, which he suggests that Job has violated. And all three men take this negative view of Job, assuming that he has done something wrong to bring all of this trouble on himself. Eliphaz says to Job in 4:8, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." Basically telling him that you reap what you sow. I know I've said that in my life many a times. Therefore, all of this suffering is because of his sin, wherein he asks later for them to be specific, inciting how these sins, in verse 24 of chapter 6, cause me to understand wherein I have erred, and as we know, none could be found. He also tells them in verse 28 of chapter 6 that he would never lie to their face. Any of us ever done that? Lie to one another? A great lesson for us that these friends of Job did is that they did come to him. They did not talk behind his back and gossip. They told him what they thought to his face. Too often everyone else has heard something being said about them, except for the person that is directed to. And most of the time we know that it's not even true. James chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. James chapter 3, 5 through 8. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Also, while we're in James, turn back into chapter 2, verse 23. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So what a beautiful verse that is, that we could go off on many subjects again there on Abraham being called the friend of God. But when we think about that, what an honorable and what a respectable place to be in, a companion of God. Who could ask for a better position? All the characteristics from a friend one could want. A friend who will never turn his back on you, and in fact, who also guides and protects you unconditionally. And we know that this is our Heavenly Father. So why is Abraham called the friend of God? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel, and he gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Isaiah 41, 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Does God consider us as his friends? Do we think that we are being friends to God? Abraham died at 175 years old, and much is recorded of him, and then we know there's a lot that is not recorded. And I think that the individuals in Scripture have enough info left behind of their lives and of them that we can understand their basic attitudes and their attributes enough to know their character. And there is so much on Abraham's friendship qualities that we could probably do a week's study class on them. But what would go into offering your son as a sacrifice? Could we do this? And why is verse 16 of Genesis 19 recorded? Let's turn there, Genesis 19, verse 16. Genesis 19, verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him. Let me read that again. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Abraham probably had a lot more to do to them than to intercede for Sodom. But look at the outcome in Genesis 19, verses 27 through 29. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. And he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, which he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. He rescued a family in Genesis 14, 13 through 16. Genesis 14, 13 through 16. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol and the brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and he also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the woman also, and the people. Genesis chapter 13, he had given Lot whichever side of the land that he wanted as he dwelled in the land of promise. What an unselfish individual, and what a committed friend, and what an example for us. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Matthew 19, 30. So I ask again, who are our friends? Well, as we look around and sitting right next to us, these are our friends, a committed group of ones who believe in common the same goal and that we have the same purpose to glorify our Heavenly Father. We are fellow companions in a journey through a wilderness of sin. But we ought to be very careful in who we choose to associate with outside of the truth. And unfortunately, we have to do the same in the truth in these last days of the Gentile age. And one more thing before closing, and this is for the younger ones. The clothes, the styles, the fashions, and the things that are acceptable to this world are not to those who serve God. We cannot depend on acceptance from our friends. And I believe in this day that is a very hard challenge, and especially while we were young. I know it was hard when I was young. We don't have to buy friends. We don't have to have the same or better things or electronics than them. We do not have to be popular in school or at work. Our reputation from the ones who we associate with now can and will affect the rest of our lives. Saying no to our friends or to who you think are your friends who want you to do things against your conscience only will make you a stronger, committed person, a type of friend that will make sure ones are being shown the love that comes from God. And not only do you save your life, but your friend might see the great example, those characteristics that God looks for when he calls ones out to be his companion. Speak friendly one to another. Abram said unto Lot, when there was a strife between Abram's and Lot's herdmen, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. And again, we could go through a lot more stories of friendship in the scripture. One of my favorite, that through our daily readings not too long ago, the love of Jonathan and David, the love of Joseph and his brethren, all ones who long to hear the voice of our Lord saying, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came in unto me. These righteous ones will be giving life eternal because of the love of our friend and our Savior, Jesus, who we come here to remember this morning and each first day of the week. I'd like to finish back in Job chapter 42. Job 42, verses 7 through 10. Job 42, 7 through 10. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eli, Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So in the end, Job turns out to be the true friend by saving his three companions. Job was not out to gain or for gain or for fame. He had a true compassion for his fellow man. How much do we tolerate from our brothers and sisters before we grudge, resent, and eventually remove ourselves from their presence? Pray, brethren, pray. In closing, Proverbs 22:11. Proverbs 22, verse 11. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips the king shall be his friend. We will now enter into the memorial portion of our service. We'll be standing and singing hymn number 156. Deck thyself, my soul, with gladness. Put away thy robes of sadness. In his resurrection splendor, praise to God our Lord did render.